Right, morning. Today's daf in Chulin's Yud Zayin. We are on to Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Hakol Shochtin Lolan Shochtin. The Mishnah made some big statements regarding Shechita, regarding the universal nature of Shechita. That Hakol Shochtin. Now, right now, I'll just translate it simply. Everybody shechts Lolan Shochtin. You always shecht. So, in terms of the who and the when. So who is everybody? And la'olam means always. Now, these words obviously need definition. And we're learning Gemara. That's all we do. We try to define. So good. So that's where we start with the Gemara today. Hakol shochtin. So hakol b'shchita v'afil abov. So the hakol shochtin now. Now, in other words, remember, when talking about shchita, so we could be talking about two items. We could be either talking about the person doing the shchita, or we could be talking about the object in which you're shechting. So right now, the Gemara's understanding is that the hakol shochtin is going on the item being shechted. So what does that mean? Everything gets shechted. Everything gets shechted, even birds. Later in the Masechta, we're going to learn together that whether or not birds require shechita min haTorah is subject to machlokas. Right? Ein shechita lof min haTorah is a phrase we're going to see together a little bit later in the Masechta. So right now, what the Mishnah is telling us is that, okay, regardless of where you stand on that issue, whether it's a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan, but still requires shechita, and you got to shecht the bird as much as you shecht an animal. Now, la'olam shechtim mantana. Now, you shecht when? So la'olam. You shecht at all times. Now, how do we understand that Mishnah? So over here now, we're about to start a very, very basic machlokas in the Gemara between the Tanaim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and really what it's going to be predicated on is the history of Shechita. When does Shechita start as an institution? Now, you think it's a funny question because the Torah was given, and okay, once the Torah was given, so then how else are we going to eat animals? So you got to shecht, right? And it actually is not that simple. And as we're going to see over the course of the next number of minutes in the Gemara, and it's going to cover almost the first full amud of today's daf. It's a question of when did the institution of Shechita start as it relates to Chulin? As it relates to Karbanos, so that's clear. Meaning once the Torah was given and once we offered our first Karban, which actually was even before the Torah was given, but okay, that's Karban Pesach was... You know, just 50 short days before the Torah was given, but still, No, I understand that. But okay, in other words, but Avraham gave karbanos, Yitzchak gave karbanos, they all gave karbanos, all the avos gave karbanos. But anyway, but in terms of a karban is concerned, so there is absolutely no debate whatsoever that a karban needs a shechita. If you're going to offer a karban, it has to be done with shechita. What about chulin? What about non-karbanos? Okay, so all this to be discussed and explored. We're going to do it in the context of how did you understand our Mishnah when the Mishnah says la'olam shechtin. So we'll say it like this. So the way the information is going to be presented with us is slightly out of order, meaning I guess it would have been better if we would have just first started with the machlokas tanaim and then go forward. But what we're going to do is we're going to learn the Mishnah, and then from there we're going to see who does the Mishnah fit in with. Amar Rabba. So Rabba says like this, Rabbi Shmuel, that the way to understand our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ki archiv Hashem alkecha etz gevucha kasher dibar lach. So here, now what I'm not going to do this morning, which would take a lot of time and it's really, really productive, is to go through the Pesukim and Parshas Re'eh and see how both the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva fit into the Pesukim and into the Parsha in general. In fact, it's a really productive exercise. Rashi, a good part of today's daf, Rashi does that, and so it's a good use of time. It's just that us here in the daf, we're not going to do that with that degree of analysis. Okay, but anyway, good. So the Torah describes that where our borders are going to get expanded, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and some people are going to live really far away from the base of Mikdash, and they want to eat meat. What do? So the Torah goes on to describe what you'll do is you'll shech the animal and you'll eat the animal. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Lo Ba Kasav El Allah Hati Lam Basar Taiva. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you know what the Torah is introducing? A new heter into this world, and that is that we are allowed to shecht an animal even though it's not a karban. The Shebetchila Nasa Lam Basar Taiva, because historically we weren't allowed to do that. Meaning the only way that you and I can eat meat in the midbar is only via karban. That's it. And if, let's say, for example, we wanted to eat a non-carbon animal, we couldn't. You'd have to bring it as a carbon shlamim, obviously. And when they get into Eretz Yisrael, so now a new heter has emerged when we go into Eretz Yisrael, and that is that we could shecht a non-carbon animal and eat it, like what you and I do for dinner. So,
what did Rabbi Shmuel say?
Huh? That's a Shita's Rabbi Shmuel.
Same thing, no?
No, this is a Shita's Rabbi Shmuel.
No, this is.
We're learning right now. Shita's Rabbi Shmuel.
Yeah,
it's okay. Ve'achshav shegalo, ve'achshav shegalo, and now that we're sent to the galus, yachlu yachlu le'isur and arishon. And I might have thought that now that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so we should revert to the way it once was, which is that there was no heter, and that we wouldn't be allowed to eat a baster taiva. Now it comes out now. It's a really strange conclusion because now with no Beis Hamikdash and no heter baster taiva. So what the Gemara is suggesting, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is right. Is that right? Fish should become a staple of our diet, and that's it. Okay. Anyway, lekach shanin alolam shochtim, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Alolam shochtim. So to which the Gemara says, maskif la Rav Yosef, hi alolam shochtim ve'oklim ibayalei. If you're right, the focus of the Mishnah is really off the mark, because what's the point? The point now is that we could shecht an animal and we can eat the animal. The real focus is on the heter achila. But according to you, why is the Mishnah only focusing on the maisa ashchita? Va'od mi'ikara ma'itama itzer mishum da'ave mekarvi la'mishkan. Olo v'sof ma'itama ishtaru da'ave mechakim me'mishkan v'koshikain ha'ashe da'achikalu tfei. And just from a svara standpoint, it really makes no sense. I'll tell you why. Because look, in the Midbar, do you know why, if you wanted to eat meat, it had to be a karban? Because the base of Mikdash, the Mishkan was accessible to everybody. Geographically, the center point of our travel in the desert, anybody who wanted to have a karban, no problem, take their animal, go to the Mishkan. It was just maybe a couple of minutes, maybe a couple hour walk from where you were, and good. And then offer it as a karban and eat as a karban shlamim. But once we go into Eretz Yisrael and people are living 1 day, 2 days, 5 days away from the base of Mikdash, so now what? You can't just simply pick up an animal and go to the base of Mikdash and eat it. So richuk is what's creating the heter. That's the Gemara's assumption. Now that we're in Galus, so we are currently right now approximately 6,000 miles away from Eretz Yisrael, and also we don't have a base of Mikdash. That's also another important point to consider. So both geographically and spiritually, we're really far away from the base of Mikdash, and so now for sure the heter should continue. Okay, Ella. So that was our first attempt in that. Our mission is going like Rabbi Shmuel, but it's really difficult. It's difficult to suggest our mission is going like Rabbi Shmuel. So if it's not going like Rabbi Shmuel, there's only one other option, and that's Rabbi Akiva. So that's what we're going to try to do now. Elam Rav Yosef, as we turn to the top of Yitzayin Amad Aleph, Rabbi Akiva here. Our mission is going like Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya Willington Abraisa. Ki yirchak mimcha, makam ashev cha, shem alkecha, lasum shmo sham, vizavakta mi bekarcha, mitzon cha. So again, we start with the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Rabbi Akiva Amar lo ba'al kasuv ela lesser lamb baster nechira. So Rabbi Akiva says that what the Torah is introducing is not a heter, but rather an iser. Shebitchila hu tar lamb baster nechira, mishenichlusu la'aretz nesar lamb baster nechira. According to Rabbi Akiva, we were always allowed to eat meat, both carbon and non-carbon meat. That was always a given. And when it comes to non-carbon meat, and when it comes to carbon meat, the Gemara is going to make this point really clear, but I'll say it right now. When it comes to carbon meat, so there, shechita is the only way you could prepare it. Fine. When it comes to non-carbon meat, so what Rabbi Akiva allows is that you can even eat it without shechita. What the Gemara describes is nechira. Now, the word nechira itself probably comes from the word nocher, which is the nostrils. And what they would probably do, the Gemara does not make this point clear. We're doing a little bit of guesswork from the Rishonim, but what we're describing over here is basically you're doing a lateral cut of the animal, and you're doing it on the ventral side. Okay, that's my that's where I sound intelligent for just a moment. So, but in other words, the point is that you don't need to do shechita. You just need to slice the animal up, and you can eat it. This is what's called nechira. The meat is called baster nechira. So so in the Midbar, this was allowed for us. We didn't have to shecht. And then according to Rabbi Kiva, what happens when we go into Eretz Yisrael? When we go into Eretz Yisrael, so still, chulin, of course, is still mutter, but now there's only one way to prepare the animal, shechita. To which the Gemara says, v'achshav shegalu yachlu yachzu la'ater narishon, l'kach shaninu l'olam shochtim. Ah, and now, galus. So now in galus, I might have thought that, look, in the Midbar, where we're outside of Eretz Yisrael, so there's the heter of nechira. Nowadays, that we're in galus, so maybe the heter nechira should be reinstituted. So therefore, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that la'olam shochtim, no. Even though we're in galus, the only way to prepare an animal is through the act of shechita. Now, b'ma'ke miflagi.
I think bypass the issue of nevela. It's a nevela.
Right. So what you're going to have to say is that according to Rabbi Kiva, it's not a nevela. Oh, yeah. You have to say that. In other words, there was a heter of basar nechira. Okay. Exactly. How exactly does it work? Meaning, where? Right. In other words, if the Torah demands that shechita has to be done in Eretz Yisrael, so how could it be different in the midbar according to Rabbi Akiva? Okay. Meaning, that's how he learns the Pesukim. And again, that's why I mentioned earlier. Like, going through the Pesukim and seeing them through the eyes of Rabbi Akiva, Rashi spends a lot of time doing that over here. I strongly encourage, well, if you have more time today, go through the Rashi.
You're asking, what happened to your leftover meat?
The Gemara's going to bring that up. Okay, good. So, b'may kemifligi Rabbi Akiva sefer basar taiva lo itzer klal. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, basar taiva was never permitted in the midbar. And Rabbi Yishmael, sorry. Let me do that again. Let me do it correctly. According to Rabbi Akiva, basar taiva was never prohibited in the midbar. I knew it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth. So it was never prohibited in the midbar. And Rabbi Shmuel says for basar nechira lo ishtari klal. And Rabbi Shmuel says that basar nechira was never permitted. So basically, what the Gemara is just simply drawing up is the two extreme positions of Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Shmuel. So vis-a-vis Rabbi Akiva, we were always allowed to eat non-carbon meat. That was a given. The only issue on the table is, how did you prepare it? So in other words, in the midbar, you just do nechira and that's it. Masha Enkin, according to Rabbi Shmuel, nechira was never permitted. So the only way you can prepare an animal is through shechita, and in the midbar, only as a carbon, not as a non-carbon. Now, Bishlam of the Rabbi Shmuel, Hainu Dichzi V'Shachat, as Ben HaBakar. So now, basically, what we're going to do is go to other psukim in the Torah. Now, again, the psukim in Parshas Re are really the key psukim. And so that's the ones that really we learning the whole sugya, we should be focused on. But and again, as I mentioned already a number of times, Rashi does go through the Pesukim. But in the meantime, however, what we're also going to do is look at some other Pesukim in the Torah and see whose position really speaks out. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, V'shachat is ben bakar. Look, the Torah says when talking about karbanos, you shecht. And the word shechita could not be any clearer, shechita to the exclusion of nechira. But Ella Rabbi Kiva my v'shachat. So, but according to Rabbi Kiva, what are you going to do with that pasuk? But the answer is very simple. Kachim shani. Yeah, I'll tell you what you do with that pasuk. That pasuk, look at it in context. That's the first parak of Vayikra. That's talking about a karbon. Yeah, for karbanos, I agree. You do shechita. For non-karbanos, what I'm arguing, says Rabbi Kiva, is that you don't have to do shechita. In the midbar, they could do nechira. Bishlam le Rabbi Shmuel hainu dichtiv atzon of Bakar yishachet lahem. By in Parshas Baloscha, when you have the people complaining for meat. So Akash Baruch and Moshe plan out that in the next number of days, so there is going to be an ample supply of meat coming in. But then Moshe asks a question to Akash Baruch, which in context is really hard to understand, because basically what Moshe is saying to Hashem is, you sure can handle this? Meaning it's a big catering job. Like you got it all? Now it's really difficult to understand how Moshe can actually be questioning whether or not Akash Baruch was able to provide for everybody. Okay, so, and Rashi over there in Chumash already presents this as a question. He gives a couple of suggestions. Anyway, we are right now focusing only on one word in the Parsha, right? And that's Shochet, right? Hatzor of Bakar Yishachet Lahem, El Rabbi Akiva, my Hatzor of Bakar Yishachet Lahem, Yenacher Lahem Mi Ba'ilei. According to Rabbi Akiva, if we're talking about Nechira in the Midbar, if we're talking about preparing an animal in the midbar, you don't do shechita, you do nechira. These are non-karbanos. To which the Gemara says, nechira shalem zu shechitasam. The Gemara gives a very simple answer, a straightforward answer. Look, the usage of the word shechita does not necessarily mean shechita. It just simply means animal preparation. We're in Israel, it means shechita. When we're in the midbar, it means nechira. They don't get caught up on the language of shochet.
So it implies that it couldn't be just a dead animal you found. They had to do something to the animal.
Yes, yeah, you could, right. I do hear
but
that.
The equation is shechita in the
field. Yeah, I hear that. I hear the argument. B'shlam al Rabbi Shmuel hainu didnana shochev v'nisnav l'biyadav anochev v'makir potum l'chassos. So as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, there's a Mishnah later in the Masechta that actually makes a lot of sense according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah says that if you shecht, then the animal's in a vela, meaning you didn't do good shechita, or you did nechira, or you just simply ripped out the simanim. So potem l'chassos, there's no mitzvah kisui adam. Later in the Masechta, we're going to spend an entire perek dedicated to the topic of kisui adam, that when I shecht either a chaya or an oaf, so you have to cover the blood that comes out of the animal with dirt, right, bit afar, dirt on the top, dirt on the bottom, More of that coming up later in the Masechta. However, if the animal is not shechted properly, and the Mishnah spells out that if I did nechira, so then there is no mitzvah of covering of the blood. So that for Rabbi Shmuel, that works out great. But according to Rabbi Kiva, But according to Rabbi Kiva, do you know that historically, once upon a time, nechira was a totally valid way of preparing an animal? And so therefore, you can make an argument that according to Rabbi Kiva, if I did nechira, granted nowadays I'm not allowed to eat it, but according to Rabbi Kiva, it is a valid form of shechita. I know it's a little bit strange. Valid form of shechita, which we can't eat. But it once was a valid form of shechita, and so therefore shouldn't there be a mitzvah of kisui adam? But the Gemara's answer, which is intuitive, ho v'itzer itzer. The Gemara says, okay, that was once upon a time. You're right. Historically, when there was nechira was allowed. But when we go into Eretz Yisrael, nechira is aser, and once it becomes aser, so even Rabbi Kiva says it's simply invalid, period, going forward. Continuing in the Gemara, Bishlam le Rabbi Kiva, Damar Basur Taiva, lo itzer klal. So hainu dichtiv, ach kasher yachel, sviv esayal, kein tochalenu. The Torah describes, again, in that same parsha, in Parshas Ra, Perek Yud Beis, that what you're allowed to do if an animal is blemished, what you can do is you can eat the animal just like tzviv ayal. Ayal over here, not to be confused with a ram. In other words, the word ayal over here is a hart, H-A-R-T. In other words, it's a type of deer, it's a type of gazelle. So in other words, these non-carbon animals, which are totally kosher, so you eat them together with these animals. It's a tzviv ayal. Kein tochlenu. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, perfect. In other words, the Torah is allowing, endorsing the eating of tzviva ayal. These are non-carbon animals, never eligible to be brought as a carbon. And the Torah says, eat them, even in the desert. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, great, how do I prepare them? Through nechira. That's fine. No problem whatsoever. And by the way, that's not even the point of the Gemara, meaning you have to prepare them through nechira. For Rabbi Kiva, the whole point is that they can be consumed even as non-carbonos. And of course they're not carbonos, because these animals are not eligible to be brought as a carbon. But Ella Rabbi Yishmael Tzviva Ayal, Gufi Mehavishare. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, how do I ever get to eating Tzviva Ayal? Remember, according to Rabbi Yishmael, in the desert, there was only one way to eat meat, and that's only as a carbon. So that means then that would limit which animals we're allowed to eat. We're only allowed to eat cattle and sheep and goats and only two types of birds. And that would be it and nothing else. Because those are eligible for kabanos. Tziva v'ayal, which are not eligible for kabanos, so how do you even eat them? And meanwhile, we see in the Parsha that it says very clearly, they eat tziva ayal. So the Gemara says, ki asur rachmana behema, dechazia la'akrava, v'achaya delochazia la'akrava, lo asur rachmana. So what you're going to have to say, and the Gemara says it, of course, is that you're right, that according to Rabbi Yishmael, even as he argues that you can only, in the Midbar, you can only eat animals as a carbon, not as non-carbonos, those are only for animals that are eligible as a carbon. For those animals that are ineligible as a carbon, like Tziva Ayal, even he himself would say that, of course, we can eat them. So even Rabbi Shmuel's viewpoint, by the way, I quipped earlier that for him, what was the diet in the desert? A lot of fish, which, by the way, they're in the desert. In other words, okay, so I'm right. But in other words, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, well, you can eat Chaya, you can eat Tziva, you can eat Ayal in the desert as well. Okay.
That person is talking after they enter
the
school. Right.
That,
so
that, it's not talking about the meatball. Okay. The pasuk yichach mimcha mokarim
is in
pasuk kofalim. Right.
And the
pasuk akashay yochel
is
atzivei sayon. Okay, good. I hear you. Again, Rashi discusses it in more detail. Rashi is the first wide line on the omelet. Okay. I totally hear. I hear your point. By Rav Yirmiyahu, we have a question asked by Rav Yirmiyahu, and that's the following: Every basar nechir shenichnasu shehichnasu Yisrael imahem laaretz mahu. So let's say as follows. Okay, good leftovers. What's better than leftovers? Some people love it. Some people are not interested. Now over here, according to Rabbi Kiva, what do we have in the midbar? A special heter, and that is that when we're eating basar taiva, non-carbon meat, we don't have to shecht it. You just do nechir, and that would be good enough. And now, as you are doing nechira to the non-carbon meat, so we're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, let's get our last little bit of nechira meat in. So we do nechira to an animal, we slice the animal open, and now, as we're entering into Eretz Yisrael, you know what? Let's put some of it in the fridge. somewhat anachronistic, but it's okay. They okay, and so now they have some leftovers.
Salted.
And right, they salted it. There, you're right. You're right. So now they have some leftover, and they go into Eretz Yisrael now. Oh, so interesting. So now they have leftovers of something that no longer is mutter. But when they kill the animal, what they did was totally valid. But now in Eretz Yisrael, well, they're not allowed to do that anymore. But can they eat the leftovers of something that when they shechted it, when they nochered it, it was totally okay? What a wonderful question. Now, Amos, Elam, Abishav, Shikivshu. But the Gemara over here really fine-tunes the question, because look, those first 7 years, when we enter into Eretz Yisrael, if you have not heard this Gemara before, shocking Gemara. But if you heard it before, you know. Hashta davar tami shtar lehu dechtiv abatim aleim kol tuv. Now, when we go into Eretz Yisrael, though, in the 7 years of conquest, so we were allowed to eat non-kosher. The Torah describes batim aleim kol tuv, that the houses are going to be filled with all good things. And what we could do is we can go into those houses and help ourselves to the spoils. Spoils, both money and also whatever was in the fridge. So, okay, I know it's an anachronistic morning, but it's fine. So in other words, we go into their houses and we open up the fridges, and whatever was there is fine. You can even eat the pork that's in their house. And as I asked before the daf this morning, you know, Rashi over here actually writes the words bacon. Okay, Rashi says it. In other words, we're allowed to help ourselves to the bacon. So for those first 7 years, if we're allowed to help ourselves to non-kosher food during those first 7 years, so you don't think we're allowed to eat basan echir? Basan echir is like a no-brainer. Meaning we're talking about something which at one point in time was even mutter. So el ala achir mikan. So we're talking about only after 7 years. Now over here now, it really takes a lot of the kick out of the question. Because over here now we're talking about leftovers that's 7 years old. Okay, even with our most sophisticated refrigeration or even freezing. Doesn't sound that exciting. Take something out of the freezer at 7 years old.
Doesn't mean we could chef basan echir ourselves? Not just eat their...
No. Well, the Gemara is just simply arguing that if we're allowed to eat chazer, so of course we're allowed to eat the leftover basan echir. That's the argument of the Gemara.
It's strange that the Gemara is asking this question, because we have the same shayla by Bomer, something that was during Heter Bomer.
Okay, well,
and then later it was Issa Bomer.
Yeah. In a moment, I'm going to get to the ramifications of the Gemara's question. So La'olam b'shev v'shikiv, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're, or no, we're talking about those 7 years, ki shtari lu shalo shalv di kochavim, did hu, lo ishtari. And even for those first 7 years, you know, there was a heter, but that was only a heter for shalosh sha'ov dikochavim. Meaning, only when we go into their houses are we allowed to eat the non-kosher that's found in their houses. But anything that belongs to us, there's no heter to eat non-kosher. And so therefore, we only have to eat, we can only eat kosher. And so therefore, the question still stands, what do we do with the leftover basa nechira meat? Take with the Gemara leaves this question as an unresolved question. So give me a second. What we have just done in the Gemara over here has gone over really an ingenious question, but at the same time also it's a historical question. Meaning, we sitting over here now, living 3,300 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so what do we care about this question? Meaning, for us now sitting around this table, it's intellectually stimulating question. But at the same time, however, how does it affect our life? Meaning, Basan Echir is 7 years after the Midbar, you could barely imagine. And now we are 3,300 years after. And so for us, it's not even a Shiloh. So why are we learning this? So just give me a second. So Rashi over here writes, right on the daf, Rashi writes, I'm quoting the Rashi inside, Drosh v'kabel scharhu, shitzrichim anu la'amod ala emes, v'afa pishikvar avar. So Rashi says, okay, you know what? It's part and parcel of the corpus of Torah. Meaning, you'll learn, you'll analyze, you'll ask, and even though it doesn't have halachic ramifications, Rashi says we still get reward for learning it. It's part of the corpus of Torah, even though it's historical. It's a really difficult Rashi, because the Gemara itself, in other occasions, says, my dahava hava. The Gemara itself dismisses a question when the question does not have halachic relevancy. And so if it's something that we're just looking at, well, what was the halacha back then? If it doesn't have halachic relevancy, the Gemara usually dismisses such a question. So it's a really interesting Rashi. more on this topic. You could take a look at the Rush inside right over here, where the Rush discusses this Rashi. Also has a really difficult time with this Rashi. Offers a couple of modern day, quote unquote, modern day applications of the Gemara's question and how this question could in fact become relevant. See the Rush for more details.
I mean, if you remember, like in the Mishnah, there's a conversation that Yalta has with Rav Nachman about anything that's prohibited you're allowed to eat, and like asking what tastes like pig. So there must have been some Mishnah like that he knew about based on this that what pigs tasted like that would have been able to compare it to.
Yep.
Like otherwise, how would they know?
Yep. Okay, good. I mean, good. There were things that mimic taste. Okay, let's go. Let's continue in the Gemara. I'm a Rabba. Okay, so that is it. That wraps up our first half of today's daf. A major machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. What was the practice of shechita back in the Midbar? And we are really at two polar opposites between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. Just as a quick summary, Rabbi Shimon in the Midbar, the only meat that we were allowed to eat was meat that was offered as a carbon, shechted and offered as a carbon. You cannot, we the Jewish people in the Midbar could not eat basar taiva in the desert. When we go into Eretz Yisrael, what was introduced to us is a new heter, and that would be the heter of basar taiva. Why? So the Gemara gave us a svara. It's a strong svara. Richo kamakom. Because now we're just simply not proximate to the Beis HaMikdash. We can't just simply walk over the Beis HaMikdash and offer carbon. So Richo Kamakom has extended this heter. And when the Mishnah says Olam Shochtin, what the Mishnah meant by that is that even though we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have Eretz Yisrael, but we could still continue to do Shechita of Basar Taiva. That's one possibility. The Gemara didn't love fitting in Rabbi Shmuel's position into our Mishnah, but that's one possibility. And on the other side, we had Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Akiva says that in the Midbar, he's on the other polar side of this discussion. Basar taiva, no-brainer. All of us ate meat in the Midbar, both carbon and non-carbon. And for Rabbi Akiva, actually, there was even a heter for the basar taiva, and that if I wanted to eat non-carbon meat, I didn't even have to do shechita, we just did nechira, and that would be great. And then we can all sit down and eat the animal, even though it wasn't shechted, as long as it was killed, as long as it was sliced. So we're allowed to eat the animal. Basar Nechira was mutter in the Midbar. When we go into Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Akiva, so now there's an Isser that's introduced, which is we could still continue to eat non-carbon meat, but we can only do so under the preparation of Shechita, not through Nechira. That's your...
How does Rabbi Ishmael deal with the fact that they ate slav in the desert?
Right, so that, and Rabbi Ishmael would argue, like the Gemara said earlier, that because that's a type of animal that's not eligible as a carbon, even Rabbi Ishmael would agree that that could be prepared in the Midbar.
Wasn't
slav
birds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Let's continue in the Gemara now, second half of today's daf. Amar Rabba. Shaniza kol shochtin lolam shochtin b'chol shochtin. So, we had in the Mishnah these big statements. Hakol, lo'olam, and bakol. And what do those mean? So my mishanas levechitem abein b'tzur abein b'zchuches abein b'krumos shalkana, and maybe it's talking about the item in which I shecht. So hadumya dahanach ketani. The Gemara says, look, what I need in the Mishnah is consistency, meaning we're using these big words and they're pronouns, and we don't know what they're modifying. But at least I want to make the following argument, says the Gemara. They should at least be modifying either all of them, the person doing the shechita, or the actual process of shechita. But in other words, let's be consistent. So are we talking about the person doing the shechita? Are we talking about the animal receiving the shechita? I don't really care, as long as we're just consistent in the Mishnah. So el amar Rava hakol shochtin. So the Gemara says like this. Here's how we can explain the Mishnah. So the hakol shochtin is chadal asui kutsi v'chadal asui yisrael mamar. So the hakol is going on people doing the shechita, and it's talking about either the kusi or the mumar. La'olam shochtin bein mayom bein malayla bein barosh agag bein barosh asvina. And the la'olam is talking about when are the available times. That's the when question, and that could be during the day, during the night, right? On the top of a roof, on the top of a boat. I mentioned this earlier, but I'll just mention it quickly again. Later in this perek, we're going to talk about why that's such a big chiddush, about doing it on the rooftop, doing it on the top of the boat. And ba'kol shochtin, and what does that mean? Bein b'tzur, bein b'tzchuches, bein b'krum shokana. In terms of the instrument that you use when you're doing the shechita, so it could be either a stone, it could be the edge of glass, it could be the edge of a reed, as we discussed in yesterday's daf. The reed, of course, has to be a smooth type of reed. So all these would be eligible. So in other words, what we're doing now is that we're giving a consistent consistent modifier of the Mishnah, in that it's all talking about the person doing the Shechita, and it's a question of the who and the when, and what item can he use when he does the Shechita. Okay. And now for the rest of today's daf, what we're going to be discussing is the knife itself. And a really interesting Gemara coming up. We're talking about the examination of the knife. So, chutz mimago kasir v'amegara. A serrated edge is no good. And so what we're looking at over here is a smooth edge knife is good for shechita. That's perfectly fine. And anything with a serration is no good. And so we start off with a story. Avod Shmuel pagam v'shadar, pagam v'shadar. The father of Shmuel wanted to know exactly what it meant serrated. So over here, as we're learning this in the Gemara, so it's great. So we are now verbally communicating it, right? We're getting it from a verbal standpoint, from an audio standpoint. But over here, show and tell is much better. Show and tell is much better. So in other words, let's get the knives out. So Avud Shmuel did exactly that. So he put a nick in the knife. He sent it over to his local Talmid Chacham. And he asked him, what is this good or is this not good? And he kept repeating it because he kept wanting to know what nicks are acceptable, what nicks are not acceptable. And the letter that was sent back to him is that I'll give you a general guideline, and that is that if it's serrated like a saw, that's no good. Okay, but again, for us around this table right now, all this gives us an idea of what it is, but practically, okay, it would be obviously be much better if we had the knives in front of us today. I think he got an answer. I think when the Gemara says Kemager Shaninu, he just gave him like a general guideline. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Yudzayin Amud Beis. Sakish Yishba Pegimas Harbei Tidon Kemagaira. If the knife has multiple serrations, so then it's just like a saw, and therefore it's no good. V'shem Ba'ala Pegim Achas. Now, but what if it has only one nick in the knife? So over here, the Gemara says, I'm going to make the following distinction. The ogeris psula mesuchseches kshera. So if it's ogeris, it's going to be pasul, and mesuchseches, it's going to be kasher. Okay, I know it'd be better if I had a knife in hand over here, but I'm not going to do it with a knife even if I had one. So the edge of my gemara right now will be perfect. If you can just watch, as I run my fingernail now over the edge of my gemara. So we're going to be discussing now ogeris versus mesuchseches. The word ogeris means gets trapped or gets caught. So that means that as my fingernail and my thumb, but let's talk about the nail. As my fingernail is running along the edge of the blade, if at one point in time it gets trapped or caught, that's what's called ogeris. And that is not good. That is now going to be a psul of the knife, which would render, of course, the shechita psula. If, however, if it's misuch serech, which means that, it's a little bit bumpy, but if my fingernail doesn't get caught, so that would be okay.
But also depends on what direction you travel.
Okay, again, a lot of this is practical. And, we are only going to get general ideas of what we're talking about. And there's no way that after today we're going to, really have any, real knowledge. We're just going to get an idea. So, ogeris psula mesuchseches kshera hechidami, ogeris hechidami mesuchseches. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? I'm a Rabbi Eliezer, ogeris mishtei ruchos mesuchseches meruch achas. So, ogeris is from two sides. Basically, if you want to see this, it's like an inverted V. In other words, there's a full indentation in the knife. So basically, if you can just imagine the fingernail running over the knife, your fingernail is going to get fully caught. However, if it's mesuch seches, it's only ruach achas. It's not a full indentation. Basically, there is just like a little bit of just one little depression in the knife, but it only has one sharp angle in it. And the other side is not, it just kind of like smooths out to the rest of the knife. So the Gemara now is trying to wrap its head around what's the difference. Well, what difference does it make? Meaning if it's a full depression or even if it's not a full depression. If there's a nick in the knife, isn't it one side going to start weakening the pipe and the other side's going to start tearing into it? And the whole idea is that it has to be slicing motion and not a tear. So if it is a two-sided nick, a full depression, so the morsa kama, it's the first part of the nick which is going to weaken. Umursa basra baza. And the next part is going to tear into the pipes. Meruch achas nami. Okay, but even if it's a one-sided nick, so what? Churfa de sakina machlish, as you're going with the knife, that's now starting to tear and weaken the pipe. and then Mursa Baza. And then what's going to happen now is that whatever nick exists, even if it's one-sided, it's going to tear into the pipe. So the Gemara says, Dekaima Resha de Sakina. So the Gemara says that, well, we're talking about where it's at the head of the knife. Now, there are a couple of ways of explaining the Gemara over here. I'm just going to give one possibility, but there's more than one possibility. One way to explain the Gemara now is that we're talking about where the nick itself is existing on one of the sides of the knife, meaning on either the top or the bottom, but not in the center of the knife. And so what we're doing over here is that we're shechting where the nick itself never comes into contact with the actual pipes, neither the trachea nor the esophagus. So the Gemara says, okay, but when you're going back and forth, so eventually you're going to hit that nick, the Gemara says, look, traditionally shechita is done in a back and forth motion, but it doesn't have to be back and forth. It just has to slide across the windpipe and the esophagus. So as long as it's sliding, it doesn't have to go back and forth, even if it goes in one direction, so you're fine. So that means to say that let's say the nick is at the top of the knife, and so what I do is I start with the knife in, I slide obviously in the other direction, not in the direction of the nick, and I don't go in the, I only go in one way, not both ways. We know for now for sure that we've avoided the nick. The Gemara says that's how we can understand the Gemara. Again, what I just did is I just offered one way to explain the Gemara. There is another way to explain the one-sided nick versus the two-sided nick, but right now for our purposes, it's just at least we have one way to understand the Gemara. Amareva, Gimel Midos Pesachin. So let's give three basic ground rules for a knife. Number one, Algeris Lo Yishchav Imshach Hashchitas Pesula. If it's the kind of nick which is a full depression where your fingernail gets caught in it, so that is a Shchita Pesula. If you use such a knife to shecht an animal, that renders the animal a trefa. We can even go so far as to say nevela. The Gemara does not make that point really clear, and could be subject to a machlokas that we've shown him. But in other words, but we could say for sure the shechita is no good. Misuchseches lo yishcho ba'lechatchila v'imshacha shechita sukshera. If it's misuchseches, which as I described earlier, meaning that your fingernail does not get caught, but you see that it kind of like, it bumps along the knife as it's running along, so that lechatchila should not use, but b'dievet the shechita is good. And olav yared b'sakin shochei ba'lechatchila. Now let's say the knife is olav yared. What's olav yared? So basically like a sword where it is not running a straight line across, but it's curved. So under those circumstances, as long as the blade is smooth, it's fine. Not only fine, l'chatchila it's fine. Amale Rav Unabred, Rav Nechemel, Rav Ashi, Amar Lam Shmede, Rav Mesuch Sechus Pzula, Vaha, Amar Rava, Mesuch Sechus Kshera. The Gemara says we have conflicting reports about Mesuch Sechus. So lo kasha kansha olech vehevi, kansha olech velo hevi. So the Gemara now tries to make a distinction in terms of whether or not we go in a back and forth motion or we go just in one direction. And like we described earlier. Amale Rav Acham, Bereda Rav Avila Rav Ashi, Damila Sasa Mai. What if it's bumpy? A bumpy knife. Now, not clear to me exactly what we mean by bumpy. In other words, we're somewhere between a curved blade, like we described earlier, and one where there are like small little ridges on it. Okay, but after that, the only adjective I can describe is bumpy. Sorry for a lack of clarity. He says, that's fine. I'm totally fine with that. You give me the meat of an animal that was shechted with a quote-unquote bumpy knife, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I'd eat it. Now, the examination of the knife prior to shechita, it's a din d'oraisa, right? How do I know that? What pasuk do I have? Shenemer v'shechatem b'zeva achaltem. So according from Shmuel, v'shechatetem b'zeh, using this. Whenever you see the word zeh, it is that we have to see the item in front of us. Pshita kev d'chinak of treif abaye. So the Gemara says, look, I don't even understand what we're asking. Do you know that if there's a nick in the knife, so then and you check with that knife, that you have rendered the animal treif? The animal's no good. And again, by the way, we made this point a number of times. Even the Gemara itself uses the word treif in the colloquial sense, meaning the animal is not technically a treif, although here that may not be true, meaning treif over here because the knife is going to put a hole in the esophagus. So maybe over here it could be that treif is not just used in the colloquial sense, but there are other Gemaras clearly using the word treif the way we use it, meaning it's just simply not kosher. You know that if I shech with a knife that has a groove in it, that has a nick in it, the animal's a trefa. What are you studying a pasuk in the Torah for? So the Gemara says, you're right. Bidika l'chacham kamrinan. So the Gemara says, you're right. Of course, checking the knife is a given. And if the knife has a nick in it, the shechita is no good. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is about showing it to a talmid chacham. The Gemara says, you're quoting a pasuk about showing the knife to Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, we're doing this but because of Kavod Chacham, right? Kavod Talmud Chacham. It has nothing to do with the act of Shechita. It has to do with the fact that we have a Talmud Chacham living in our community to show our proper respect and deference to the Talmud Chacham. I bring the knife to him. But this is not a Din D'Oraisa. Well, it's funny, by the way, showing Kavod to a Talmud Chacham, right, is a Din D'Oraisa. But specifically the knife as the example, it's a din derabanan. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, you're right, of course you're right. It's a din derabanan, the pasuk that we cited, asmachta. How did they check knives? So in Eretz Yisrael, it was a minhag to check with the sun. Exactly how the checking was done with the sun. See Rashi for a couple of possibilities of how that was done. In Narda, in the town of Narda, they would use water to check. How exactly was the knife checked with water? Once again, see Rashi for a couple of explanations how it was checked with water. One explanation of Rashi, by the way, I think everyone can appreciate this visually, is that you run drops of water down the edge of the knife, and if it just simply runs down the knife without stopping, the knife is smooth. That's one possibility. Again, see Rashi for more. Rav Sheshes Badagle Bereish Lishna. Rav Sheshes, this is one part of the Gemara, today's daf you're not going to forget. Rav Sheshes, when he checked the knife, he would use the tongue and run his tongue up and down the knife to see whether or not the knife had a nick or did not have a nick. Okay, yeah, right, don't try this at home. Right, disclaimer of the day. Okay. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Badakle Bechut HaSara, he would check it with a hair. Now, that would seem to be, by the way, really chamor in terms of a shita, meaning that if a hair gets caught at any point in the knife, it's no good? Okay. Bisura Ami, Bisura Akhla, Bisura Badka. In Surah, they had the following phrase. Do you know what the knife is going through? The knife is going through flesh. Do you know how you should check the knife? You should check it with flesh, meaning you should use your finger. Amara Papa Tzricha Bidika, Bisura Vatufra. You should check with both the flesh of your finger and the nail of your finger. So in other words, you should be checking, you should run your finger across the knife, and you should run your fingernail across the knife. Fascinating Tosos over here. It's really small, and it's really fascinating. Tosos says, do you know why you were running both finger and fingernail along the knife? Because consider, what are we going to be doing with this knife? We're going to be cutting two pipes. We're going to be cutting the trachea, and we're going to be cutting the esophagus. The trachea is cartilage. The esophagus is muscle. I know I'm embellishing a little bit in Tosos, but this is basically Tosos's point. So therefore, what you want to know is that the knife is able to cut through both. And so therefore, Tosos writes, it's a small Tosos, Abisra Mishum Veshet. So I run my finger along the knife because the knife is going to be cutting through the esophagus, muscular, and Atufra Mishum Kana. And I'm running my fingernail across the knife because it's going to be cutting through the windpipe, otherwise known as cartilage.
If it can cut through cartilage, for sure it can cut
through. Okay, good, good. You know better than me, but I'm sharing the Tosos. So a bit of bitra va'atufra.
If the knife is good when you're examining, you should cut your finger. If it's not good,
you're not going to run it hard along your finger. It's soft, it's real soft. Right. Again, you speak to a shochet. He'll speak to you better about this. Okay.
Yeah, same thing. If it's good, he has to cut.
Okay.
If it's not good,
I'm skipping the parentheses. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Amalei Ram Sama Berei Derav Misharsha Mishmachta. Amalei Mishmei Derav. I'm sorry. Sorry. Amrle Ravina Ravashi. Amrlan Rav Sama Bered Rav Misharsha Mishmacha. Damarle Mishmei Derava. So I heard the following in the name of you, in the name of Rava. Tzricha Bediga Bisra Vatufa Vatlasa Ruchasa. I heard that you said in the name of Rava that not only do you have to do the finger and fingernail check, but also on three sides. Meaning, when I say three sides, I mean the edge of the blade and the two sides of the blade. To which the Gemara says, Amrle Abisra Vatufa Amrle Vatlasa Rucha Lo Amre. So he says, let me correct you. I did say finger and fingernail. I did not say three sides. Igadami, now in another version of the correction, Abisra Vatufa Vatlasa Ruchasa Amre, Mishmei Derava Lo Amre. In our second version, I said all the above. I just didn't say it in the name of Rava. Okay. Ravina v'Rav Acha bered the Rav Ahava Yasri kame the Rav Ashi Isu sakin lekame. A knife was brought in front of them. The Rav Ashi levadke, and they asked Rav Ashi to go check it. Amar le Rav Acha bered the Rav Bitka Batka Atufra va'Abisra va'Altasa Ruchasa. So he did a bedika. He did it now with both finger and fingernail, and he ran it along all three sides, the edge and the two sides. Amar le Yisher v'Chena Marav Kahana. He says that's very good, and that's exactly how Rav Kahana wanted the bedika to be done. Rav Yehuda Amar Tufra v'Abisra Tzricha Tasa Ruchasa Lo Tzricha. And he says to him that I need to do a bedika both on the finger and fingernail, but not all three sides, just the edge. Milo Amar Rav Zera Amar Rav Shmuel Liben Sakin V'Shachir Bashchita Sukshera Shechiduda Kodem Livuna. So the Gemara says, now you remember the halacha that we learned just a week ago in the daf, more than a week ago, right back on daf Ches. The Gemara taught us that when I'm shechling with a hot knife, so that shechita is a good shechita, even though burning the simanim is no good, but the edge hits the pipes first, and then only afterwards it singes with the sides, and the sides don't even make contact with the simanim, because the way we described it is as the blade comes in, they're separating one from another, so therefore there's no need to do a bedika on the sides of the knife. To which the Gemara says, so over here, there simply is no need to do a bedika on the sides, because the sides of the knife never really make contact with the simanim. Okay, and so we conclude for today. Tomorrow we continue a little bit more regarding the bedika sasakin, but today's daf, Yud Zayin, right, two parts to today's daf. One, the history of shechita. Two, the requirement and the precision in terms of how exactly a knife is checked before shechita.